This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
We have a clip. You want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
We got a couple clips here, Michael. And this one, former Nugget, legend of the game, one of the great Denver Nuggets, Dan Issel, caught up with the fellas from DNVR Nuggets, and doesn't have a lot that pertains to the news of the day or things we've been chatting about, but it did catch me off guard. It just kind of take a step back and see just how different things were when guys like Dan Issel played. Here is Dan Issel.
I had a temperature of 102.5, and Chopper, our infamous trainer, during timeouts and at halftime, Chopper would wipe me down with alcohol. I can't imagine too many players would play today with a temperature of 102.5.
Yeah, wiping down with alcohol, I don't think that's something that's being done anymore either.
No, I think that's how the Serbians handle a lot of illnesses, maybe Jokic too.
That might be.
Chopper had all of these remedies. I'd be afraid to know what was in them. The one that he used to put on our pulled muscles and things, as soon as he put it on, you got this terrible taste of garlic in your mouth. I have no idea what was in it, but he had some strange brews that would keep us on the court.
Well, at least it kept the vampires away.
What kind of alcohol are we talking about here? Like, like rubbing alcohol, I'm guessing?
But rubbing alcohol is really bad for your skin. It's good for wounds.
Is it like a bottle of whiskey? Like, hey, I'm putting it on a rag here, and then I'm just white. What are we? I don't know, man.
But that's going to absorb through your skin.
They did different stuff back in the day. You know, the whole rub dirt on it thing probably came from somewhere, and I guess in Dan Issel's case, it's kind of like rub some alcohol on it. 102.5? Most players are not playing with that now.
Maybe Jordan.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe he had some bad pizza. The other clip of the day, Michael. Sean Payton hung out with Mike Shanahan a little bit yesterday. Mike Shanahan showed up to practice, and every time I see Mike, man, I can't. Every time you see him on the sidelines with his headgear and his Broncos little jacket on, and just serious business, man. Those were certainly some of the greatest times to be a Broncos fan when Mike Shanahan was running the show. Sean Payton talked a little bit about Shanny and, you know, even early days preparing for a Mike Shanahan-led offense. Here's Sean Payton on Coach Shanahan.
I could go into the nuances of football. My first year in the league, 97, with Philadelphia, John Gruden had me, we had beta then, had me cutting up four offensive teams, one being Denver. There was a game, you guys were too young, but they played Dallas, and Mike started getting into these, you know, the tight end outside, Rod Smith, to get man zone reads. It was an empty package, and it was like Denver really had a good offensive game that day, but it was like must, you know, that film wasn't available on computer. Like it was must watch. Like you had to get that game tape. So Mike, and then the coaching tree, and then the Super Bowls, every element of it fits. And just like the Broncos and Elway and the many members of that team, there's a chapter, you know, a number of chapters that that are attributed to that time frame. And so I'm looking at it really more in a microscope relative to what he was doing before anyone else was doing it. And so there's elements to him being the head coach, but then him being a heck of an offensive play caller and a forward thinker relative to how he utilized his personnel, you know, the success they had with the wide zone scheme, all of the play action mechanics. With people forget how athletic coming out of college and in his early part of his career, John was. Like, he was one of those guys that really, you know, could move to a quarter of the field and still had all the throws. So, yeah, very important part of our history.
Of our history. No longer not my hump to get over with. I thought that was cool. Just, and I saw some of the videos and clips of the two kind of just chopping it up and Shanahan admiring the facilities around the area. It's, you know, it is crazy. You know, Shanahan trying to make that case for Hall of Fame. Sean Payton mentioned it, but like his coaching tree. Mike, these are huge names on this list. Like Gary Kubiak, obviously, one of those guys. Kyle Shanahan, for several reasons. Sean McVay, he was a tight ends coach and assistants coach in Washington under Shaney. Matt LaFleur, head coach of the Packers. He was his quarterback's coach in Washington. Mike McDaniel, offensive assistant receivers coach under Shanahan in Washington. A lot of these guys were in Washington. Like, you know, Gary Kubiak, of course, there. But when he spent time in Washington, he had a lot of guys that really learned from him. So it's curious why not as many dudes from his Broncos days are, you know, rocking it like guys in his Washington days. And I wonder if Mike Shanahan, toward the end of his career, which Washington was, he spent more time mentoring, you know, these young coaches and bringing them into the fold.
You do have Rick Dennison, though.
But not a head coach.
Still in the league.
I mean, these are all guys. Raheem Morris, defensive backs coach on Shanahan's Washington staff before becoming a head coach. You don't have a lot of those guys from that era that went on to be great head coaches or head coaches in general. But certainly a bunch of dudes from his Washington time. I mean, and his, if you want to extend it out, like this, they call it like the second generation offshoots of like guys under his coaching tree, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, and LaFleur. Well, you got Zach Taylor, Kevin O'Connell, Mike LaFleur, who saw last night, Bobby Slowick. So that's part of the argument for Shaney getting into the Hall of Fame. Obviously, Peyton outlined that too. He was kind of ahead. You know, his style of offense was certainly ahead. Now he had the pieces to do it. You know, once those final few years with the – not final few years with the Broncos. He was Denver a long time after they won their Super Bowls. But when he had all the right pieces, great quarterback, hell of a running back, you know, just hardworking receivers, superstar tight end too, Shannon Sharp. I mean, Shanny with those kind of weapons – was dangerous, and you saw what happened when he gets the right pieces to fit into that. So just kind of neat seeing Sean and Mike stand around, talk a little bit, talk some football and talk about the facilities. But either way you slice it, Mike Shanahan's one of those dudes. Like, talk about Rushmores, the Mount Rushmore. It's hard not to think, certainly amongst coaches, it's hard not to put Mike Shanahan on there first. I'd say so, right? Shanny first on there. McLean texting in on the Dan Issel thing. Had the pleasure of meeting Dan Issel, and he was so kind and took his time to talk with me despite a long line of fans. Hell of a guy. Yeah, I never really hear many bad things about Dan Issel.
And what did he rub on your arms?
What?
Who me? Never mind.
You're doing the alcohol thing?
Okay. Doing the alcohol
He's
thing.
Saying his trainer was doing that. Not, okay. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Yeah, I think if you're doing like, you know, Sean Payton has a real chance here in his next, you know, what did he sign, a 5-year contract extension? To insert himself into this quickly, insert himself into Denver's all-time great coaches talk. If he gets a Super Bowl out of this thing, he's already up there. If he can do it again, then you're talking about him being one of the top guys. I mean, he's got a lot of wins under his belt. He is borderline Hall of Fame right now. You give him another Super Bowl, because he did that with the Saints. I think that it's hard for me to say anybody's a lock now that Bill Belichick didn't get in first ballot. But Sean Payton is well on his way. We did that yesterday. We talked about ESPN's article on current Broncos who are on a Hall of Fame trajectory. Well, how about Sean Payton? He's a Super Bowl away from doing it.
I mean, if you keep these wins going, he didn't have a lot of losing seasons. Helps that he had a really great quarterback, but didn't have a lot of losing seasons. I don't know what his record is, probably in the 60s.
Is it a coach that makes the quarterback or a quarterback that makes the coach?
Chicken egg.
I think Drew Brees was pretty good with the Chargers, became a Hall of Fame type quarterback with the Saints. So you obviously have to be a talented Pro Bowl type quarterback, but to go to that next level does take an amazing coach.
When they took the leash off of Elway and gave him coaches that were more open-minded to what Elway was into, he became a better quarterback. Towards the end of his career, the numbers probably weren't as great, but, you know.
Sean's at 184 career wins. He is 13th on the list of all-time wins in NFL head coach history. He will surpass the 200 mark, assuming they can get 7 wins this season.
Does it say who's ahead of him in the wins?
Chuck Knox, 186. Dan Reeves at 190. He should pass those guys this year. Mike Tomlin at 193, tied with Chuck Knoll at 193. Marty Schottenheimer is at 200. Paul Brown, 213. Curly Lambeau is 226. Tom Landry, 250. Andy Reid at 279. Bill Belichick at 302. Don Shula's at 328. So Peyton's in some pretty good company there as he's climbing the ranks. John Harbaugh's right behind Sean Payton. Mike McCarthy's close behind as far as current head coaches. I mean, it's got to be close to a Hall of Fame type resume. You know, Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl with the Saints, and like you said, he was in the playoffs more often than not.
Probably should have gone to the Super Bowl a second time.
If it wasn't for that weird ghost phantom pass interference call?
Yeah, non-call. I mean, that is the most you see pass interference calls that are ticky-tacky that they call. This one was ridiculous. Should have fired the back judge.
Yeah, that whole thing kind of sparked a new, the NFL reevaluating that whole interference thing. Wasn't that the one that
It was.
Put them on trial basically for we're going to start reviewing interference, and then they got rid of that.
Yeah.
Didn't go over so well.
I just, like, it's, you had guys looking directly at it, and he got there so early. It still bothers me. Still to this day bothers me, because it's like, I hate it when I love it when the Broncos win. It feels dirty when they win because, you know, the referee blew the whistle on accident. But, like, Saints should have been in the Super Bowl.
Faith texting in, I like this. I'm just going to have to block your whole show time on my calendar because people keep coming in to interrupt my listening. It's like I'm at work listening to the whole show. Insert Michael's plug for listening on the website, Spotify, or Apple.
Exactly. The website is 1310kfka.com.
And you can find the podcast where?
On 1310kfka.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
That a kid, Mike. Is Sean Payton a Hall of Famer today? If Mike Shanahan's not a Hall of Famer, where is Mike on this list? Oh, he's tied for 19th with Tom Coughlin. Coughlin got in, right?
I don't think so.
I think he did. Let me look it up. Are you looking it up?
I do. I'm looking it up.
Oh, he's not yet in the Hall of Fame, but he's advanced as a semifinalist in the coaching category.
Coughlin, and how often has Shanny been?
And the semifinals? Seems like he's there quite a bit.
Maybe one of those guys just isn't a big fan of
Shanahan. Those are big names. I don't know. I'm pretty strict with the Hall of Fame talk, but coaches, it's like these names are massive in the NFL world. Tom Coughlin, Mike Shanahan, those are all massive names. He's got 170 wins, Shanahan does.
He should be in. Like you said, you mentioned his coaching tree earlier. That's a big tree. That's a big tree that
helped create a forest. How much do they base just flat-out wins and Super Bowl wins and playoff wins? Do they really look at the coaching tree and all the other things? You know, thinking outside the box, being ahead of his time even. I'm curious to know like what goes into the actual Hall of Fame.
And they probably should look at the influence of that person. Because, you know, there are people that influenced Mike Shanahan, and those people deserve that credit. Because really those people, like, everybody stands on the shoulders of giants, but, like, not everybody branches off like Shanahan did.
So if Shanahan's not in, he has two Super Bowls, 170 wins.
Probably being Sean with Payton, the Redskins hurt him.
Yeah, he wasn't. He was 24-40 with Washington, 138-86 with the Broncos. Won a lot of games with Denver. He was 8-12 with the Raiders. How much of that do they look at and say, "Well, you were really good with the Broncos, got a lot of wins." His first year was 1996, and that's when they had all of these future Hall of Fame, all these Hall of Famers on that roster. That's got to be what they look at to not put him in, because he's had a lot of studs. And then when he went to Washington, it was a rough go. He had the RG3 thing, and it looked like, oh, Shanny and RG3, man, they might do some stuff. Had Clinton Portis too. That does hurt him. Whereas Sean Payton, 152-89 with the Saints, 32-19 with the Broncos. That's going to really help his case. And he came to a Denver team that was bad.
To a Russell Wilson Broncos.
Yes,
team.
It was a mess here. And I know George Payton and Denver Bronco ownership should get a lot of credit for this too. But if we're just looking at coaches, the fact that he was at New Orleans and was really good and then basically just picked up where he left off, fixed this Russell Wilson thing, and got his quarterback in Bo Nix, and 32-19. Odds are he's going to get over that 200 win mark for Denver, which would put him over the 40 win mark during his time with the Broncos, and he has packed a punch. So he's definitely, like, if he retired today, does he have a better shot of getting into the Hall of Fame than Mike Shanahan? People are going to argue the Super Bowls. But the fact that he's been successful with two teams now, with two franchises, that bodes well. And made it to the AFC Championship game last year. Obviously, we know how that one went down. If they could have found a way to get into the Super Bowl, yeah, every single win at this stage is just going to help his resume.
You know, whether you go to the Super Bowl or not, whether you win the Super Bowl or not, you still went there. And I hate it when people say, well, my team's better than yours because we have a Super Bowl win. Well yeah, okay, about, but though. If I have a Super Bowl win and I've been there more times, my team is better overall, my franchise. And I think even going there helps out your legacy. Yeah, maybe you didn't win, but not everybody gets there.
Yeah, but that's really what we judge coaches on. The first thing we judge coaches on, we look at the Super Bowl wins first. I mean, that's what it's about. That's what this sport is about, is winning the Super Bowl. But there's a lot of great players. Larry Fitzgerald, watching him last night, he never got one. He made it, but they didn't win. They lost to the Steelers. There's a lot of great players. It's easier, though, because players, you have so many numbers you can go off of. Like Barry Sanders. Not a lot of success in the win-loss column, but what he did with his... what his numbers looked like when he played was, I mean, they were phenomenal. You just watch the guy. It's clear he's the best. He was one of the best running backs to ever do it.
I mean, sometimes he had the most exciting five-yard gains.
Yeah.
Because like, you have run five back guys 20. In the background, and he's just like, whoop, make you look bad.
Yeah. There's a lot that goes into it, into the Hall of Fame voting. But coaches, you tend to look at Super Bowl wins, and I would say it would be Super Bowl victories alongside wins. And then you just, I think looking at, okay, how many stints did they have as a head coach? Did they have one particular team they were good with and they were star-studded? Or, you know, did you go somewhere else and rebuild? Not a lot of guys do go to a second team, and that second stint is really – Andy Reid's one of those guys too, though, Mike. And Andy Reid is – he's a first-ballot Hall of Famer. Now, he's got a lot of Super Bowl victories now with the Chiefs. He went – did he go to two with Philadelphia? I think he went to two, didn't he? Lost, but went – did he go to one or two? I think he lost one to New England. But he's definitely a – in my mind, he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He'll cross – he should – 279, I don't know if he's going to get – assuming he coaches another 2 years, he'll likely get to that 300 mark, which only three other coaches have. But that's what you look at, win percentage – how they did when they went elsewhere. Those are all things that you package together. 26 minutes after the hour. Another one of those great coaches. How about Coach Harbaugh and the Los Angeles Chargers? We'll take a deep dive into the Chargers coming up next. And then later, Picture on Friday, everybody knows that. I will give you my prediction as to how I think this AFC West is going to unfold. Who's winning and who's coming in dead last? We'll get to that coming up. Chargers glance coming up next. Keep it on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Your local news during your commute. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, a neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody, this is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
All right, we've looked at the Chiefs and the Raiders. Now it's time to discuss the Los Angeles Chargers. 11-7 last year under head coach Jim Harbaugh. 5-1 in the division. I mean, they're, yeah, I'd probably pencil them in. Maybe not even pencil them in to be a playoff team. I would imagine they're going to be pretty good again. Top storylines kind of surrounding this. I think number one is how will Jim Harbaugh and Mike McDaniel coexist? You got a run first Harbaugh, kind of old school, going to pound the rock, and then you've got a spread out philosophy with Mike McDaniel. It's going to get weird. It's already getting weird. That could either be the greatest combination we've ever seen, or it goes up in a cloud of smoke pretty quickly. And then fixing the offensive line. I mean, Justin Herbert, pretty damn good numbers, considering he was running for his life. They had a lot of key injuries on that line last year. But they did pick up center Tyler Biadasz, 3-year, $30 million deal. So they're hoping that helps. Rashawn Slater and right tackle Joe Alt returning from injuries. When those guys went down last year, that offensive line was bad. So, and they picked up Cole Strange as a guard and Trevor Penning in the offseason as well. Notable pickups, tight end David Njoku. Key losses, Keenan Allen, who I think is still a free agent, isn't he? Maybe they get him back. I'm not sure. This was a defensively pretty damn good team. Not a shocker with Jim Harbaugh leading. I mean, they were fifth overall, fifth against the pass, eighth against the rush. Ninth, you know, points allowed at 20. They were good at getting, you know, turnovers, interceptions. They were third in the NFL, tied for 10th in sacks. Offensively is, you know, where they struggled, and that was primarily due to the offensive line. Just a lot of injuries, just not great. You know, the passing last year, they were 18th in the league, 12th in rushing attack, 20th in points per game at 21.6. And sacked. Justin Herbert was sacked 60 times, which was tied for the 29th worst in the NFL. I mean, they're a good team. Justin Herbert, like, I think this is a category he probably doesn't want to lead right now, but best quarterback without a playoff win. Can you believe that? Justin Herbert hasn't won a playoff game. He puts up big numbers every year. Can't win a playoff game.
There's one story that I think should be up there, too, is the injury factor. I mean, they need to stay healthy.
I talked about that with the line. I mean, they were really banged up on the offensive line last year.
That doesn't help with the sacks.
Najee Harris is gone. O'Marrion Hampton, they're really going to try to open it up for in his rookie year. He had 545 yards rushing, four touchdowns, 32 receptions for 192 yards and a touchdown. Be curious to see if they open him up a little bit more. On the defensive side, you got Khalil Mack. You're at the defensive tackle, Tart, who's their anchor against the run, which allowed them to be pretty good against the run last year. Derwin James Jr. at safety, he's a stud. It's going to be a good team, Mike. Chargers are a good team. But is this combo with Jim Harbaugh and Mike McDaniel going to take them to the next phase? They're scary in the regular season. But even Harbaugh hasn't been able to shake that reputation of, yeah, you're pretty good in the regular season, but you just find ways to lose games once you get into the postseason. I think they'll be good. Are they going to be as good as Denver? I got picks. Picks are on Friday. I'm going to give you my AFC West prediction, how I think this thing's landing. I've got the Broncos around 10 or 11, so I think if you're listening at home, if you're following along at home in your whole show notepads, you would assume I'm going to say the Broncos are going to finish in the top two. I think it does come down to the Chargers and the Broncos. I think the Raiders are going to be bad. So, tell you what, let's come back, and I'll give you my prediction to how this is going to roll in the AFC West. 36 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
All right, picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. It's not like the conventional pick segment here, but it's time. You know, preseason is underway. We at least had one game yesterday. We'll have next week, the Broncos will be in preseason action. So let's get it out of the way now. My AFC West standings in 2026, Michael. I'm just going to go from last to first. The Raiders will finish last. Yeah, I don't. Maybe they get better. Maybe Clint Kubiak gets this team rolling. I don't think they're going to be as bad as they were last year when they went three games under Pete Carroll. I don't think they're quite going to be that bad. But I think it's going to take some time. And Kirk Cousins, great at getting money, but you know, he's a bridge quarterback right now. And I think the bridge will break down probably 6, 7, 8 weeks into the season. And then they'll start their new era at quarterback. So Raiders will finish last. Patrick Mahomes is back. Chiefs were good defensively last year. Great defensively last year. Sucked on third down percentage, though. I just think it's aging, man. Mahomes still going to be good, but is he still in that elite quarterback class? He wasn't great before the injury. He was good, still good numbers. And then they got Kenneth Walker. We'll see what that looks like in the run game. I think the Chiefs are going to finish third in the AFC West. Here's the tough one. Because remember, the Broncos have that very difficult first 6 weeks. And I think that's going to tell us so much about Denver. I think Denver's a playoff team again, I think. But if they don't come out of that first 6 weeks, at least above 500, I think there's going to be, again, after the 6 weeks, things slow down a lot. But there's always teams that you think are going to be bad that turn out to be pretty good. Michael's going to hate it. Because I know you picked the Broncos. I could make up the entire roster and you wouldn't even know who that person is. But you'd pick the Broncos to win the West. I think the Chargers are winning the West this year. And the Broncos will be second. Both playoff teams, though. I just think that first 6 weeks, Denver might be in kind of some dangerous territory there. And then they'll spend the rest of the season just trying to recover from that. Because again, you're at Kansas City to start, home against Jacksonville, home against Los Angeles, at San Francisco, home against Los Angeles again, and then at Los Angeles, and then home against Seattle. That's a brutal, brutal run. And I think that stretch might put Denver far enough behind the eight ball where they recuperate. You know, they go to Arizona on October 25th, home against Kansas City at Carolina before the bye. I think we'll feel better about Denver by the time we get to the bye week. But I think this is the year the Chargers win the West. Do they win a playoff game? That'll be the question, you know, for Justin Herbert. But I actually think this weird experiment with Jim Harbaugh and Mike McDaniel is going to do something crazy. I think it's actually going to work out pretty good, and I think the Chargers will take the West. So there you go, Mike. I like the Broncos to be a playoff team. You know, I think they'll be still a playoff team. They'll have a lot of work to do after the Seattle loss on October 15th, Thursday Night Football. Thursday Night Special, by the way. But after that, I think they start to string wins together. I don't think they're going 0-6 or anything.
No.
But, well, of course not.
Well, it's Friday. Am I allowed to make my picks?
No, because nobody cares, because they already know what you're going to say. Do you even know any other teams? Exactly. Do you even know any other teams in the AFC West? Do you even know who they are? Do you even know any teams in the NFL? Anything about the teams in the NFL?
Brady, I know everything.
Anything about the matchups that they'll be going up against with some of these great teams?
That's going to be the biggest struggle, I think. Like, they've got such a tough schedule.
Welcome
to the
segment.
I literally
just said that. Welcome to the segment, Michael.
I know.
Welcome to the segment.
You never really know truly how the schedule's going to go until the end of the season. You look back and you're like, wow, that was a tough schedule.
Well, let's predict at the end of the season how we think this is going to finish then. Let's just do that. Let's just wait until...
Well, I'm just saying, like, it could be a very tough schedule, or there could be some unfortunate things that happen, which happens every year in the NFL to teams. And I think it's probably going to happen again to the Chargers. Hopefully not, but I think they're going to get hurt again. I think they're going to be better than the Chiefs, but they're probably going to get hurt.
You
want to
put
a
breakfast burrito on the Chargers Broncos?
I don't want to take money from you.
It's a breakfast burrito. It's not money.
I don't want to take a look. I'm not going to take a breakfast.
So if the Chargers win the West, you owe me a breakfast burrito. If the Broncos win the West, I owe you a breakfast burrito. How about that?
How about we both buy each other breakfast burritos?
Why?
From Big City Roadhouse.
But yeah, obviously. But why would we both buy each other burritos? Don't you want to compete here, Mike?
We're
come
friends,
on,
friends.
Where's
right?
that competitive? Sure. Yeah. Where's that competitive fire, Michael? Where's that belief? Put your burrito where your mouth is.
All that fire that I have is burning right in my left knee.
Well, use that. Use that energy. Use that burn to really believe in the Broncos. So much so you're willing to put a Big City Roadhouse breakfast burrito on the line.
I already owe you a breakfast burrito.
Do you really? You got me one the other day.
Well, it was like a couple months ago, but I think I
no,
owe
you got
you
me
because
one literally like
the
Friday.
Rockies are going to win more than...
You got
closer
me,
to your win total than mine.
You
I think
bought
I'm
me a breakfast burrito on Friday, Michael. You bought a breakfast burrito for me on Friday. Remember, I went down and got it. I got them. The guy brought it here, and you said, hey, you can have one of those if you go down and get it. And I went
down. I don't remember that.
It was literally Friday.
Okay.
So you don't owe me one.
Today's Friday.
Yes. You're doing good, man.
Brady, the sunset on my memory used to be 8 days, but now it's closer to 5.
Well,
getting old.
I could have got away with that, but I was being honest, and you did already get me a breakfast burrito, so I will take that as payment for the Rockies. I will take that as my payment.
Yeah, but it's not a big city roadhouse burrito.
That's true. Was that the bet, that it was a big city roadhouse burrito?
The big city roadhouse burrito is like 5 times the size of the one I got.
It's a huge burrito, man. It's so good. 49 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. What did we learn coming up next? It's the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Football, volleyball, and all the preps fall sports you can handle. Listen to Coach Speak weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
What did we learn this week, Michael? It's been a fun week here. All the teams we're following have been rocking and rolling in training camp coverage now, which means We're almost there, man. We had a preseason game last night. So good on that. Benjamin Albright gave us, you know, for the most part, as far as starters and, you know, players that are going to be, not to say any injury is good, but as far as like Jalen Waddle and Nick Benito and Cortland Sutton and Wattenberg, not a lot of key injuries to speak of at this point for Broncos country. And that's a very good thing. Michael, what'd you learn?
Waddle won't be waddling down the field?
What'd you learn today, man?
I liked that one. You won't be waddling down.
What'd you learn? No, I heard it. What'd you learn?
Oh, well, I mean, I basically learned the same stuff that you did, only I was pretending to be smarter, but I'm not sure that's true.
We also learned this is Kawhi Leonard thing. It's kind of crazy. What's going on there? Peyton Watson, it does not sound like his agency has any interest in being a long-term Denver Nugget, so they're really wanting to sign and trade, or maybe he picks up his player guarantee for this year and plays at a very small amount just so he can get this year done, and then he's gone. So
do you prefer that?
I don't know. I go back and forth on that. Probably not. But all right, Mike, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back at high school football training camp coverage presented by Pro Countertop Design. Pro Design Countertops, there it is. Begins next week. Coach Bruce Dick is going to be focusing on all area high school football teams with his coverage beginning at 5 o'clock every single day. So it's going to be really fun. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.